coming and his second coming. His first coming and his second coming. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 22 and Luke chapter 2. Luke 22 and Luke chapter 2. Up behind me on the board are the scriptures. We're going to stand and reading the word of the Lord today. And just follow along. If you have your Bibles open, great. If not, behind me on the board is the scriptures. Doesn't that look festive? Well, you can't see it. It is red. It's red. And behind you, it looks good. Look behind you. It looks good. I like that color. I'm just being a little proud here because I put this together. So, all right, let's look at the scriptures. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until I find fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them and saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. And jumping over to Luke chapter 2. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let us pray. Father God, we just want to thank you once again for your word, how it becomes a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We just ask you to give us insight into your word. We pray. Give us a heart to understand. Give us eyes to see what your spirit is saying this day to this body at this time. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want you to turn around to somebody and say, Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. There are many ways to recall who Jesus is and what he did for us as Savior and Lord this Christmas season. As I reflect upon the life of Jesus this Christmas season, there seems to be one phrase that just seems to be sticking out as I read the Christmas stories and the Christmas theme that's found throughout the Bible. You can find those stories found in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Luke. Mark gives no detailed account on the birth of Christ, and neither does John. But it's kind of interesting. You look at the book of John, you see that Christ never had any beginning. Because it says, in the beginning was the what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Though Matthew and Luke gives us a detailed account of the birth of Christ, but the book of John just gives us the existence of Christ that always was. But as I look through the scripture verses and reflect upon this Christmas season, I come upon one word that just stands out to me. And that word is a phrase that says, in the flesh. In the flesh. Follow me if you can. At Christmas time, we celebrate a babe lying in the manger. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Again, in the flesh. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There was a sign here, a baby in the flesh. At communion, we celebrate the sign of the Savior, don't we? He lived a pure life. He was crucified, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. Concerning the last meal with the disciple, Jesus used these words, you do this in remembrance of what? Of me. Of me. This is so significant to us today as we celebrate Christ's death. As we celebrate in the flesh, as we celebrate this communion, his body was what? Broken for what? You and me. In the flesh, Jesus paid a debt of our sins. In the flesh. In the flesh, we see his second coming. He's coming back. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back. He's coming back in the flesh. He's not coming back any other way but in the flesh. I want you to pick up on this. This is a sign for each of us to remember that Christ's death was in the flesh for our sins. And Jesus said, and he said it again and again, that we do this until he comes. So again, this remembrance is remembering that he was real, he was in the flesh, he lived this earth, he lived a sinless life. Every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him, the scripture says, in the flesh. His body and his blood meant that he was flesh and blood. In the manger, he was in the flesh. On the cross, he was in the flesh. In the tomb, he was in the flesh. Risen from the tomb, he was in the flesh. He appeared unto 11 disciples in the flesh. He appeared unto 500 in the flesh. He's coming back again for his glorious church in the flesh. He's going to rule and reign in eternity in the flesh. I think you get what I'm going. Jesus had to come in the flesh. He had to come in the flesh because through his death and his resurrection and his triumph of power over death and sin, it had to take in the flesh. So let me just bring to you the first point. Remember the sign of the babe in Luke chapter 2. When the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night, I know as I say that, each of you underneath your breath, underneath your lips, are saying the same thing I'm saying, right? Because we've heard that so many times. We've heard it so many times. When the shepherds were keeping watch over the flocks by night, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared. And the glory of the Lord shined about. And the angel said to them, you shall find a babe wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It was in the flesh. He was born in the flesh. What better proof do we have today? Why are these signs so important? Because it shows us and shows the world that Christ came and he was born in the flesh. What better proof of this truth than a person born as a savior, born as a redeemer for mankind? Instead of a person being placed in that position, or a person that became a savior, or a person that became a redeemer of mankind, he was born in the flesh to be the savior of mankind. I want you to get that. God didn't say, I'm going to choose this person, like we just voted on a president of the United States, to serve in that position. No, this person was born for that purpose. Jesus was born in the flesh for the purpose of the redemption of mankind. I want you to get that. He wasn't fully grown. He wasn't self-proclaimed. God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He was born a baby, one that was going to grow and experience every temptation and pressure and self-nature that we all experience. And he also experienced the fact of temptation to the point of sinning, but we know the scripture tells us that he never sinned. But yet he was in the flesh. He was in the flesh to experience everything that you experience. He was in the flesh to know the sorrows and the pains and the heartaches and the brokenness that we all go through, especially during this Christmas season. It's hard for loved ones who have lost, or hard for people that have lost a loved one during this season, because it just reminds us once again of someone that is no longer going to be around. But yet they live in our memory, in the flesh, to experience everything that you experience. No one is sitting here today that Jesus can't identify with. There's not one person sitting in this room, or not one person who's watching me online, that Jesus cannot identify with what you're going through at this moment. Not one person. Jesus has been through it all, and he did it all for us. And he can identify with everything that we are going through. The angels proclaimed his birth. They proclaimed his mission, that he came to save the world. They even proclaimed his worth. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men. God, through Jesus, is always being born again today in the hearts and lives of new believers. Jesus, though he was born 2,000 years ago, but today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he can be born again into your heart. You can ask him into your heart, and he can forgive you of all your sins, and you will be a born-again person. Meaning this, that he forgives you of all your sins, and he makes you right with God. Think about this. When a person realizes who Jesus is and what he has done for them, what ends up happening? They become a born-again believer. A new babe in Christ, a new creature in Christ, if I can say it that way. A new creature that needs to grow and mature and get the nourishment of God's word. Someone that needs to understand why God says what he says and why he says what he says. It's all about understanding, being a born-again believer. And those that are mature in Christ, I want to just give you a word of warning. Be a little gracious to the born-again believers in the church. Be gracious to the one that just got saved. They got a lot to learn. You've been walking this path for a while. Don't be high-minded and holy high where you think because they got to be like you. No, give them time to grow. Give grace. Give grace. I mean, God, you got grace when you got saved. Give them grace too. This is all a part of growing in Christ. Jesus was born in their hearts as their Savior and the Redeemer. Others proclaim who he is. Others share what he has done. Others tell where he lives. But yet, only you have a testimony that nobody else has. Only you carry a testimony and a truth in your heart that nobody else can ever experience because you understand who God is and what God has done for you. It's a new birth. It's taking place. It's just not in the heart, but it's in your life, and it starts to manifest in your life through what you say and what you think and where you go and who you hang around with. That's what it's all about. You grow in stature. You grow in wisdom. You grow in God's grace. Let me quickly go on. The baby in the manger is a sign to recall what he did to us as Messiah. What did Jesus do at his birth? He fulfilled the promise of Lamentation chapter 3, verse 23, that his mercies are renewed every morning, because great is his what? Faithfulness. He fulfilled that, church. Every morning, his mercies is renewed in your heart, in your life, in your family's life. It's renewed every morning. That's what God does. He doesn't take yesterday's blessings and say, here, I'll give you the leftovers. He says, no, I'm going to give you good stuff today. I'm going to give you the stuff that's new. I'm going to give you what you need for the day. Don't depend on yesterday's manna. Look for what God has for you today, the new manna. Allow him to feed you. And as he feeds you, you're going to grow and mature in stature. This is what it is. Renewed every morning. God is there to help us, provide for us, and keep watch over us. Just like the shepherds kept watch over their flocks by night. God keeps watch over you when you're a born-again believer. Don't ever think that you're doing this walk alone and you're doing this by yourself. You have a knowledge of who God is, and because you do, you're safe, you're cozy, you're set for life. You're not set for life, my friend. Every day you better get your life right with God and be in God in such a way that his mercies will rest upon you. Don't take for benefit what happened yesterday and try to use it for today. God provides us. He watches over us. I'm glad he does. Indeed, his mercies is renewed this Christmas season. Go to the manger. You'll see that he was born in the flesh. Go where he laid, and you'll find peace. And he will bring peace to mankind. This Christmas communion that we're going to be participating today, we do this in remembrance of who? Him. We do it in remembrance of him. Let me quickly go on to my next point, if I could. Remember the sign of the Savior. The sign of the Savior. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. I want you to see that. He was tempted in all points like us, but guess what? He didn't sin. He didn't fall into sin. He didn't give into it. That's why you can identify with us. I want you to look at something here. The babe in the manger cries out for us to remember Jesus, or God, who became like us to save us. That's why the babe laid in the manger. He became like us so he can identify with us. The God of all creation humbled himself. I don't know if you ever thought of it like that before. But the God of all creation humbled himself. He allowed himself to be planted in the egg of a woman. He allowed himself to grow for 9 months in Mary's womb. He allowed himself to go through the birth canal, the pain of being born. And then he allowed himself in humility to depend upon his parents for every substance that he needs until he got of an age where he could take care of himself. God himself became a fragile babe to understand our weakness. All those that have kids understand what I'm saying. You know, we sing that song, Silent Night. We sing that song, Away in a Manger, you know, No Crib or something like that. Joe might know better off than I do. But it says, the little Lord Jesus did not cry as he slept. I can't see that. I'm sorry. I don't know of a baby that doesn't cry, right? I don't know of a baby that doesn't cry. When they have a wet diaper or they want to be fed, they're going to let you know they have a need. It's just the way it is. I mean, I know God, Jesus was 100% God, but yet he was 100% man. He was 100% human. Those two were combined together for the sake of us. I'm sure Jesus cried. I'm sure maybe Jesus threw a little a hissy fit. I don't know. But whatever you want to call it. I'm sure there were times he did, because that's the humanity part of God. How could he not feel that and sense that if he wasn't part human or 100% human, like he was 100% God? He humbled himself. God became a frail baby to understand our weaknesses, to show us the way to overcome the world by his power of the Holy Spirit. And we also know that he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. He was obedient. He was tempted. We know he was tempted. He prayed 3 times that the Father would take it away from him. But yeah, he says, nonetheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So we see, even in the midst of temptation, he was even praying to the Father. I know I got to go through this, but can you help me? Can you do something? But Jesus already knew what he had to do. He already knew what he had to go through. So we don't want to look at Jesus as being that vulnerable. He even told Peter, Peter, I could call 10,000 angels to my side. Peter, put away your sword. Those that live by the sword are going to die by the sword. The vulnerableness of Jesus, even at the time of his prayer in the garden, and even at the time of his arrest, and even at the time of him hanging on the cross, he was vulnerable. He could have took vengeance. But yet he said what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, into your spirit I commit my spirit. See, Jesus struggled too. We need to see that humanity part of God in order for us then to be able to go to God and say, God, I know how you feel. And because, or really, you should say, God, I know how, you know how I feel, because you went through that as well. Our Savior was tempted in the flesh. And church, I need to say this to you this morning. If Jesus was tempted in the flesh, don't you think you're going to be tempted in the flesh? Don't you think you're going to be tempted in the flesh? Don't you think if Jesus went through sorrows, don't you think that you're going to go through sorrows? Jesus went through heartaches. Don't you think you're going to go through heartaches? People sometimes say, well, Jesus was never sick. How do you know? He was 100% human. I'm sure there were times that he had colds. He was sick. I'm sure there were times that he had sleepless nights. And he had other issues going on. He could heal himself just like he healed anybody else. But yet, I got a feeling Jesus went through it for our sake. You may say, you're cheapening him. No, I'm not. He was 100% God, but he was a what? 100% man. If he cannot feel what we feel, then he doesn't know what we are going through. He went through it, and he can feel what we are feeling. Hope I said that right. The angels announced that Jesus was going to be vulnerable for our sake. Babies need care, don't they? They are at the mercy of the one who takes care of them. They are vulnerable. They can't defend themselves. I know it's hard for a mother to give up their child at birth. That's probably one of the hardest things that that will happen or ever will happen. I know of some ladies who are incarcerated right now. They're not getting out, but their baby's going to come out before they can get out. And their baby will be turned over to social services or DSS or whatever the case is. I'm sure they don't want to give up their child. Who wouldn't want to give up their child? But yet, Mary knew that her son and what he was going to go through, he was going to become the Savior of the world. And she pondered these things in her heart. Three times, read the story in the book of Luke, when the angel appeared to Mary and told her those words, she pondered these things in her heart. After Jesus was born and the shepherds came, she pondered these things in her heart. And when Jesus hung on the cross and Jesus gave to John the responsibility of his mother and told his mother that this is now your son, John the Apostle, she pondered these things in her heart. There's a lot of things that we're going to ponder in our hearts. But know this, God has a plan. He has a purpose. And sometimes we just don't understand what the plan and the purpose is. But we do know that all things work together for good. The manger is a sign of the Savior and his amazing grace. Let me go on to my last point. Remember the sign of the King. Think about it. Revelation chapter 19, or chapter 19, verse 16 tells us this. On his robe and on his thigh, he had the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is on him as he came back at the Battle of Armageddon. You can read about it in chapter 19 of Revelation. Upon him was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to know something. The king, the coming king, attacked this world as a babe. When Jesus came on the scene, they did everything in its power, Satan did, to destroy him. To destroy him. Even when the three magi's came from the east looking for the king that was born, they came to Herod. Herod told them where this king was going to be born. The magi's went to find Jesus. They found Jesus. And what were Herod's explicit words to the magi's? When you find him, come back and tell me so I may go and worship him. No, Herod wasn't looking to worship Jesus. Herod was looking to kill Jesus. He killed his brother's brother for his brother's wife. Herod was mean. He was a cruel guy. He didn't care. He got what he wanted. He was a king. And anybody who threatened his throne, he would try to get rid of. And after the Magi's went and saw Jesus and gave them the three famous gifts that we know, frankincense, gold, and myrrh, doesn't mean there were three kings. There were just three gifts, okay? Three gifts were given, not three. Three kings gave three gifts. The kings came, the Magi's came. Doesn't say how many there were, but they gave three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they all speak of something. Next week I'll speak of that. So you got to come back to hear what they mean. But yet, the point is, when God warned the Magi to go back some other way, King Herod raged in his heart, and he sent his troop and his army to destroy every child that was 2 years old and younger. Can you imagine that in Bethlehem, that day, that every child that was 2 years and younger were slaughtered and killed, all because a king throne was jeopardized? I want to say something here. How many lives today that you know in this world, they're afraid of King Jesus? They're afraid of Jesus. They won't even let Jesus. They're afraid of Jesus. They'll do everything to kill Jesus. I have people tell me tons of times, I can't come into your church because if I do, the walls will fall down. I say, well, make sure you're saved before you come in. So when the walls do fall down, you go to heaven. You know? I mean, you give your excuses, but your excuses really mean nothing. In all reality, they just don't want to surrender their lives to Christ. He is ultimately going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not my words. It's the word of God today. God did not choose an army to display his power. God did not choose a royal birth to display his power. God did not choose a person of mature age or to display his power. God chose his only begotten son to display his power. I want you to see that. He couldn't entrust his power to nobody else. That person is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. His strength, as ours, is made perfect in our weaknesses. I'll say it again. His strength, as ours, was made perfect in weakness. For when you are weak, then he can become what? Strong. That's the beautiful part, church. The day that we think we got it all together, the day that we think we know what we're doing and everything's is honky-dory and we're going on living our life and everything's fine, I don't know about you, but God has a way to come in and upset an apple cart. God has a way of coming in and challenges our thinking. And sometimes our stinking thinking gets us, stops us from knowing who God is. And what ends up happening, we go through things that maybe we shouldn't have to go through, but we got to go through them because we are just not where God wants us. His strength, as ours, was made perfect in weakness. That baby won victory at Calvary. That baby is coming back for his church. This world's not going to stop him. Doesn't matter how many nuclear bombs America has, Russia has, everyone else has. When Jesus comes back, they're not going to be stopped by it. He's not going to be stopped by that. And I'm not saying that's how he's coming back. But just to show these nations of the world think they are all powerful, that they are God, and what they say goes, and if you don't fall in line with what we say, we'll punish you, we'll do this, we'll do that. Now our nation is using fear. Maybe what our nation should start doing is say, hey, we're praying for you. We're praying that God will get a hold of you. We're praying that you would change from your wicked ways, that something will happen in your heart and in your nation. Church revival is happening around the world. We're just not seeing it. The media is afraid to talk about it. Because they're afraid what's happening. Man, my son knows chaplains that are on the Eagle football team, and you may not be for the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, but, man, the men on those teams are getting saved left and right. They're having water baptisms in the hotel, in the bathtubs, in the hotel. The Kansas City Chiefs, the exact same thing is happening there. And the players are getting saved. Coaches are getting saved. God's getting a hold of people. We don't see it. The media is afraid of it. It's like wildfire to them. How can we even share what's going on? But yet, God's doing something. Why is God doing something? Because I believe our time is coming short. Our time is coming short. Jesus is coming back soon. And he's coming back to take his church home. This babe is going to rule in righteousness in the future. He's going to destroy every evil. He's going to destroy the devil and all the evil forces that are there when they're thrown in the lake of fire. And that's another sermon in itself. I want you to remember the cradle where the babe was in the flesh. I want you to remember the cross where he hung in the flesh. And there will be a day that he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords in the flesh. The celebration of Jesus' birth calls us to remember, as the worship team comes up, to remember him as a humble infant who was born on earth. Why was he born? So we might be born again in Christ. And through his death and his resurrection, we have life. And we can have life more abundantly. We have the manger here. You know, I shared this before, but I'll share it again. When my niece got married in the church, the minister there always gave who they were marrying a manger as a wedding gift, to remind them, keep Christ at the center of their home. She stood there that day saying this, I got you your wedding gift. Everybody knows that's what I get. But I want you to know that baby Jesus didn't come in, so the manger is empty. They asked me to pray. And I reminded them, my niece and her husband-to-be, I said, you know what? The baby in the manger may be missing, but the baby in your heart is not. The baby in your heart is not. If the baby in your heart's manger is missing today, I want to give you an opportunity to place him there. And the only way that could be done is by you saying a simple prayer. Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and be my personal Savior. He will come and reside in your manger. Let us pray. Father, today as we just come before you, we bow our hearts in prayer. We thank you that Christ came in the flesh. He can identify with everything that we ever, whatever happened in our lives, any challenges that have happened. He knows, he feels, he knows my pain, he knows my suffering, but he also knows my future. And today, I want him in my future. With heavy head bowed, heavy eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my heart, in my manger. I need him. I need him. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand.